I want to thank Matt for reading this morning. There at the very end of that chapter is what I've chosen to speak about. If you remember what he read, after Jesus was telling his disciples and others nearby the cost of being his disciple, he asked an important question. You might remember that question, but if you don't, I'll reread it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's the question that I want to tackle today. Is there anyone here this morning that would exchange your soul for anything? Anything. You know, when I was a kid, I liked to trade baseball cards. I liked to really collect them. But it was always fun to trade them. And some of you maybe have done some things in your life that you got to trade or you bartered different things. But I remember as a kid, I loved trading baseball cards. And the key to not making a bad trade was to know the value of your cards. You needed to know the value of your own cards, and you needed to know the value of other people's cards to make a trade that didn't cost you in the long run. So in order to do that, you had to stay current on pricing. I remember I used to get a monthly Beckett price guide. And I'd get that Beckett out, and I'd look at the prices, and I'd try to know the card values so that I could make good trades or to go buy cards or to sell my cards. I remember that there were some kids, though, that would just trade because they wanted their favorite player. They didn't really care about value. They didn't care about anything. They just liked that team, and maybe they liked that player, and so they would trade for that card. I love trading with people like that because you get to trade up, typically. Maybe you would increase the value of what you got, and it felt like a win-win. They got their favorite player or their favorite team, and you got a card that was maybe worth more money or a card that you wanted. And I'll never forget, there was a time that I was in a hurry to make a trade. And I can't remember why. I think school was about out. And I'll never forget, Greg Glenn traded me a baseball card. It was a Don Mattingly rookie that I had at the time, worth about $45. And I remember trading him that card for something that was worth 50 cents. I didn't know Don Mattingly was worth that much money. And I lost a lot of money that day, all because I was kind of in a hurry to make that trade and get home from school. But I'll never forget that tough lesson. I'll never forget that feeling of how I was exchanging my card that was worth a lot for something that was worth nothing. I got home. First of all, I was sad when I opened the Beckett to see what I got, and I went, oh no. I was disappointed. I was angry. I was really kind of mad at him. Like, well, he ripped me off. And I was really mad at myself for not knowing what I was trading or exchanging for something that was so valuable. You know, back to the words of Jesus, we're reminded of the value of our soul. It is by far the most valuable possession that we have. This morning I wanted to look at three things. How we know we have a soul, or do we know we have a soul? What makes one's soul so valuable? And then what will we give in exchange for our soul? How do we know we have a soul? Well, we could spend a whole day looking at this, but the Bible teaches us that mankind exists after death. And I've got all these passages because I've got quite a few typed out, so you probably won't have time to turn, but we know that man is both body and soul, and we're told that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul. Paul tells us that there is an inner man that can be renewed even while the outer man is decaying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We can be with the Lord while absent from the body. Staying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, we will be well pleased, rather than to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. We see here just in a few passages that even though we have this physical body, God has put within us a soul. And that soul will exist even after this outward body perishes. Something for us to keep in mind. So let's look quickly at our next question, which is, why is the soul so valuable? You know, value is an interesting thing. I've thought about this all week leading up to this, but it's very relative, and it varies. It varies from person to person. Have you ever gone to someone's house and they want to show you something? Maybe they're so excited about something they got. And you look at it and you go, what's the big deal? But to them, it's really important. It's really valuable. Maybe it was something that was handed down from generation to generation, and now you have it. And they wouldn't trade it for the world. They even have it out on their table. To you, it's meaningless. It doesn't mean a thing. But to them, it's super valuable. It almost takes me back, and for some of you who've heard the story, you know, I found a piece of coral. I wanted to get that coral back home from our vacation really badly. To Amy, it probably wasn't that big a deal. But to me, it was. I wanted to get it back. And, you know, we could have been detained or our luggage, you know, taken, but it was valuable and I wanted me to get it back. Some of you are going to come over someday and go, that was what you wanted back in the country? Value is interesting. It's relative. Some of you are collectors of things that I wouldn't dare to collect. They mean nothing to me. But to you, it's important. Value is the regard that something that you hold so dear, or it is something is held to be deserved or important or worth, has some worth, or is useful to you. There are people that live in remote parts of the country that there is something that's really important to them. We would look at that and go, we don't need that. We buy four-wheel drive vehicles so when it snows we can get around. It's important to us. Someone that lives in Florida or somewhere where it doesn't, why would you buy a four-wheel drive vehicle? Value is relative. It's something that we consider important or beneficial. What I find value in, you look at it and think it's a piece of junk. Something that you might hold extremely valuable, I wouldn't care a thing about. If you doubt this philosophy, all you have to do is go try to sell something. If you've esteemed something or held it valuable for such a long time, and you go to try to sell it and you think it's worth X, and no one's biting on that, you're thinking, what's going on? If you doubt that, go have a garage sale. Go sell some things that you've held on to for a long time, for whatever goofy reason, and you put X price on it and it doesn't move. And then day two, you're thinking, well, I'll lower it, I guess, a little more. And day three, you're like, I'll just give it away, I guess. Things that are valuable to us aren't always valuable to others. Very few of us will agree on the value of something. And that's so true. Some of us, we pay certain amounts for our clothing, and others wouldn't even dare consider doing that. Some of us buy a car that costs whatever, X, and the others would go, you're crazy. We always differ on value. We just do. Some of us would pay a lot of money for carpet in our homes, and others would say, it's carpet. What's the big deal? But, and the thing for us to consider today is that I hope we can all agree that our soul is priceless. Priceless. Our soul is so valuable because, for starters, we're made in God's own image. Man was created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Yet God, we know, is not physical. He doesn't have a physical body like ours. So in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we must be able to deduce, or we might be able to deduce then, that it must be our soul or our spirit that is made in God's image. Our soul is valuable because it doesn't cease to exist after death. Think about that. When the body dies and it returns back to dust, the soul or the spirit returns to God. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's value. There's extreme value when we do His will. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 says, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. When we seek, when we through patience seek to do good for glory, there will be a reward that I promise you is valuable. On the other hand, there's no value, only indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish when we don't obey. Romans chapter 2, right after that verse 7, in verses 8 and 9 says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what's going to happen? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew and also of the Greek. Wow, what a dichotomy there. Verse 7 tells us about those who do His will and what will happen if we're patient and we stay focused. Our spirit can return to God. But on the flip side, those who are self-seeking and they don't obey the truth, horrible things happen. This is why we as Christians have to evaluate all things, all of our possessions, all of our decisions, our actions. We have to evaluate those on eternal perspective, from a soul's viewpoint. That's the most important thing we can do, is evaluate these things in our life, possessions, decisions, on our eternal perspective. What was the cost required to redeem our soul? Our price was to redeem our soul from the wrath of God's judgment was, of course, His blood. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He didn't take something really important like silver and gold and pay for it. He took His own life, His own blood. The Bible teaches us that our soul is more valuable than the entire world. And yet, many people every day sell their souls. They exchange them for something that is meaningless. In a quick moment, people make rash decisions. It seems like at the time a good deal, but it's not a good deal at all. That exchange is horrible. You wouldn't go to the counter. We went to the Dominican Republic. We had an opportunity to exchange some more money. We didn't do it because we didn't need to. But you have an opportunity to exchange what the dollar of the value is for the peso at the time. You wouldn't exchange your dollar, well, number one, for the peso because it's not good. But number two, you wouldn't go do that if you knew the exchange rate wasn't good, just to give it away. We don't make foolish exchanges in our life. Some of us have vehicles that we've sold or exchanged or traded. You don't just go give it away. Well, why? Because we don't make foolish, rash decisions with those things that we say are meaningful. Why would you do it with your soul? What would one give in exchange for their soul? What does it mean to exchange something for your soul? The word exchange, when I think of the word exchange, I think about a transaction. I think about bartering. Some of us think that's fun. Some of us have bartered for food or traded different things. That in many other cultures happens all the time. I'll work for this. I'll give you food. Well, you exchange things. Barter meaning to trade or exchange a commodity for another commodity. You know, it sounds ridiculous to even discuss trading our soul for anything. We can't even have a conversation, an honest conversation about exchanging our soul for anything. But for whatever reason, we consider doing it, or people do it all the time. Things for which people trade their soul. Some people, it's earthly riches or it's fame. You know, the quest for riches, they neglect to serve God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have betrayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Some have traded their souls for those things which are corruptible, which can be stolen. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust can destroy, or where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? Where's your value? For others, it's going to be a passing pleasure of sin. We could read in Proverbs, and we don't have time, but in Proverbs chapter 5, we could read where one was tempted of a harlot. For whatever reason, we make quick, rash decisions in certain situations. Passion, timing, all those things end up being painful. And just like my poor decision to trade a baseball card, I went home, and when I had a moment to think about that, realized what a horrible exchange that was. Well, guess what? We don't get to really consider that horrible exchange when we, for whatever reason, give up our soul for something foolish. It's too late. However, on the other hand, there's people like Joseph, Moses, Daniel, who we can consider, and those are the ones that should inspire us to make the right decisions, make the right choices. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 9, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in this, the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Even he in the moment was able to consider not sinning against God and not doing something against his master's will. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." He got it. I'm not going to give it up for these passing pleasures of sin. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." What a great story. I'm not going to take all these awesome things you're offering me, because I'm not going to defile myself. My soul is more important. Then there's others who allow their souls to be sold for some convenient false doctrine, of which we all need to be careful of and beware. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 18. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward." I want to pause there for a second. Let no one cheat you of your reward. That's what this whole lesson is about. Don't let yourself cheat yourself of the reward. Don't be foolish. Don't let someone else. Don't let your best friend Greg Glenn talk you out of a baseball card. Seems so meaningless, a baseball card. Let me reread that. "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Boy, doesn't our flesh get in the way sometimes of making solid soul-based decisions. The devil is the master of this. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Powerful verse for us to remember. Through our own lack of Bible study, we can lose the most valuable thing we have. Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for what? Their lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. How valuable is your soul? The question that Jesus asked and the question we started with is, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Seems like a silly question. I mean, it's not even worth answering, but it is, because so many exchange things daily. Think about what the rich man would tell us that's in Hades. Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. So it was that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes to Abraham, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Oh, if we could just ask him, is it worth it? Of course, he would tell us no. I'm going to close by giving you what I think is possibly one of the most ridiculous stories we have in the Bible about an exchange. Genesis chapter 25, we know this story well. Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. I'm going to read this for you. 25, 29 through the end of the chapter. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what profit shall this birthright be to me? Now a lot of us, especially kids, jokingly say all the time, I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. That's what he's basically saying here. I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What a great exchange for one person. He gave up his birthright for some lentils and stew. Or bread and stew of lentils, excuse me. How sad. As I read this story and I think about the value of our soul, it reminds me that we need to ensure that we help each other. We remind each other. That's why we're here every Lord's Day and Wednesday, to remind each other how important our soul really is and to not be sidetracked. And to not get swindled into perceived good exchanges. And I look out, we have so many kids. How do we help each other raise all of our kids to ensure that they would never exchange their soul or ever consider exchanging their soul? It is said that everything has a price. Have you ever heard that? Everything's got a price. Someone wants something you have, and they say, oh, come on now, what if I paid you this? No, I'm not interested. What if I paid you this? Okay, come on. I watch a show that they travel all over the United States, and they pick up what looks like junk. And they'll sometimes say, what's your ridiculous price? What's your, I know, I love this, I never want to get rid of it price? They just keep kind of doing a little different angle because they really, really want this. And most of the people stay strong and, I just don't want to sell it. Sometimes, though, people go, okay, here's my ridiculous price. But to them, it doesn't seem so ridiculous, so they buy it sometimes. Most of us, if I asked you today, what's the most valuable thing you have, probably the first answer you say is, my home. And it probably is. My home. You know, it's interesting. What do we do with our homes? We insure them. We meticulously try to take care of them. We keep the upkeep on them. We secure them. We put doors and locks on them. We put security systems on them sometimes. We go to great lengths to take care of that valuable possession, my most valuable possession, my home. Well, guess what? It's not our most valuable possession. Not even close. I don't care if you have a $1 million home. It doesn't matter. That value pales in comparison to your soul. Some are after great riches and fame. Some will leave thousands of friends because they've amassed thousands of friends. And when they depart, they will have thousands of friends, probably more in their death. Would that be worth it? If you swapped or exchanged, I'm going to be friends with all these people and leave God behind. On the other hand, we may die in a charitable home for the poor. It's possible. And we may be buried in a potter's field without a single friend to mourn our loss. Oh well. If we save our soul, or maybe the better way of saying it is, we don't choose to exchange it for something foolish, we will have a marvelous success in life. We will be rewarded with the most valuable thing we could possibly be rewarded with. This morning, if you find that for whatever reason, you have been contemplating a trade deal. Maybe you find that for whatever reason, you've been contemplating something that you would possibly exchange. Now, you didn't realize that's what you were contemplating, but for whatever reason, you are headed down a path that you know is a slippery slope. You are considering a trade that I promise you has no bargain. It is not valuable. If you find that you are on the wrong path, maybe you've made some poor decisions. Maybe you've made some horrific exchanges. You have time to fix that. You have time to ask for repentance. You have today to change what you've exchanged and to refocus on Him and refocus on what He gave for our soul, which is His life, which is extremely valuable. Some of you maybe have never named Christ, and I can assure you that's the most valuable thing you can do, is to name Him and be buried with Him and to rise again and live with Him. Whatever your need is, please let it be known as you come forward as we stand and sing.